Hello and welcome to our weekly reflections on Sunday's liturgy. Today we have before us the 31st Sunday of Ordinary Time.
Of all the commandments, which is the most important?
The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
Once, a village blacksmith had a vision. An angel came to him and said, "The time has come for you to take your place in his kingdom." "I thank God for thinking of me," said the blacksmith. "But as you know, the season of sowing the seeds will soon be here. The people of the village will need their plows repaired and their horses shod. I don't wish to seem ungrateful, but do you think I might put off taking my place in the kingdom until I have finished?" The angel looked at him in a wise and loving way of angels. The blacksmith continued his work and almost finished when he heard of a neighbor who fell ill in the middle of the planting season. The next time the blacksmith saw the angel, he pointed out towards the barren fields and pleaded with the angel, "Do you think eternity could hold off a little longer? If I don't finish my job, my friend's family will suffer." Again the angel smiled and vanished. The blacksmith's friend recovered, and another's barn was burned down, and a third was in deep sorrow at the death of his wife, and the fourth, and so on. Whenever the angel appeared, the blacksmith just spread out his hands in a gesture of resignation and compassion and drew the angel's eyes to where the suffering was. One evening the blacksmith began to think of this angel and how he had put him off for such a long time. He felt very old and tired, and he prayed, "Lord, if you would like to send your angel again, I would like to see him now." He had no sooner spoken than the angel appeared before him. "If you still want me to take me," said the blacksmith, "I am now ready to take my place in the kingdom of the Lord." The angel looked at the blacksmith and smiled as he said, "Where do you think you have been all these years?"
God loves me and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves me and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves me and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves me and I love you, and that's the way it should be. I can be very sad, you can be very sad, that's the way it should be. I can be very sad, you can be very sad, that's the way it should be.
The relationship between God and man is a relationship of love. God is love, and because He is love, He created the universe and made man master and masterpiece of His creation. He is a personal God, and we experience His touch in the presence of Jesus. Christian love requires of us to root out of our hearts and minds these distorted perceptions and to convert our hearts and minds to a true and compassionate love of God and of others. In the first reading, we have the presentation of the love of God in the form of 10 commandments. The chosen people were invited to love God with their whole heart. They in turn will receive plentiful blessings from God. In the second reading, we are told how Christ saved us by offering Himself. As a high priest, He offered Himself once and for all to God for our sake. The efficacy of His priesthood really began when He rose from the dead. In the Gospel, we have the summary of the law given by Jesus to love God with the whole heart, mind, and strength, and to love one's neighbor as the person would love himself or herself. Jesus says that there is no commandment greater than these. In the first reading taken from the book of Deuteronomy, we hear Moses, who began his discourse by telling the people to fear the Lord God. Therefore, fear that involves discipline is part of the sanctifying process for the soul. When the believer has reached a higher level of holiness, the fear fades away and is being replaced with true love of God. Then Moses ordered the people to remember in their hearts that God is one, and that they must love God with all their hearts, with all their souls, and with all their might. The question asked by the scribe in today's gospel was that which the rabbis asked often: which is the greatest of all commandments? It is an honest question to discover what is essential to please God and obtain eternal salvation. The question that was frequently debated was which of the Ten Commandments was the most important. There was never a common answer, and the scribe takes this opportunity to ask this question to Jesus. From the context, it is clear that unlike other tricky questions asked by Pharisees and scribes, this question is put by an honest scribe who is sincerely anxious to get an honest and true answer. Knowing that his question was sincere and honest, Jesus gave him a frank answer by quoting the book of Deuteronomy for the first commandment, the love of the one true God. Jesus clearly said that a person has to love God with one's heart, soul, and strength. To this he added the second greatest commandment, a person must love his neighbor as he would his own self, as given in the book of Leviticus. This command was not new to the audience. What was new was that Jesus went to build an extremely intimate bond between the love of God and love of neighbor. In Christian charity, people and God are not merely side by side, they are inseparable. This idea presented by Jesus was totally new. Another facet of newness was that Jesus gave a completely new interpretation of neighbor. In the time of Leviticus, it meant only Hebrews. For Jesus, it included every member of the human race. The scribe, an honest man that he was, accepted and approved of the answer given by Jesus. The scribe emphasized that without true love of God and neighbor, the external signs of worship offered to God would be useless. But the scribe obviously had a tendency to dissociate love from sacrifice. These services are of value if they are motivated by a sincere interior love for God, which of its nature includes the love of neighbor. Therefore, Jesus responded to him, telling him that he was not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus himself says that there is no other commandment greater than these. All other commandments are expansions of these two and indications to put these commandments into daily practice. We have the command to love God who is infinite and perfect. In reality, God does not need our love, and he is invisible in every human sense. But we can love our neighbor who is created in the image and likeness of God. It is God who gave us our existence and every gift we possess. Hence, it is necessary for us to love and honor him. The commandments of love of God and neighbor, Jesus tells us, are more important than any offering or sacrifice. If one does not have love, he has nothing. If one spends his time in prayer but cannot show love towards his neighbor, he does not have true love in him, nor does God abide in him. For God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God. They care about their neighbors, they reach out to them, they support them, they encourage them to persevere. If we obey the two commandments of love, our daily communion with God is being perfected through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ. Jesus is a model for us in the practice of the virtue of love. His love is ideal, divine, and all-embracing. During his lifetime, he showed us how to love others and showed his love towards his disciples, his followers, and even his enemies. In today's world, the word love is often misunderstood and misused. Love is not only what makes the world go round, it is what makes the ride worthwhile. But love is also demanding. To love means to go beyond ourselves, truly to face another person, to rise above our own need, to stretch out to someone, to see the faces of those who desperately need our love, to risk discomfort, to give our time and energy, and indeed to give ourselves to others. Love involves total giving and sacrificing oneself. There is no question of sharing only a part or to love when the person feels good. It is true that love has to do with feelings, but it has far more to do with commitment, challenge, and letting go. Wholehearted loving does not stop at any time, and it cannot be done with. It has to do with being there for the other. We sometimes fear that if we offer our all, too much might be asked and something extra may be demanded of us. This makes us persons close to the world of love. Love involves the risk of taking and giving. The truth is that we human beings are truly human beings when we give ourselves away in love. Love is central in our moral decisions. We find real life examples in family, workplace, neighborhood, employer-worker relationship, social involvement, school, church, and citizenship. There are several ways available to us to improve these relationships. Because of a common humanity, we should be inclined to help our fellow men, our neighbors. But the Christian law spiritualizes this natural inclination by commanding us to help our neighbor because he or she is a child of God and carries the image of the divine. Our Heavenly Father loves each one of us and accepts us as His own children. Hence, we become members of God's family. As we offer this Eucharist today and receive the Lord in our heart, let us ask the grace that we may extend our love to all and that we may discover the presence of Jesus in our brothers and sisters.
There are many people who will say they're Christians and they live like Christians on the Sabbath day. But come on.